By way of introduction, I'd just like to say, depending on where you stand and your understanding of where you stand, this can be seen as a great and wonderful and exciting sermon. If you're on the wrong side of the Lord, it will be seen or should be seen as a terrible, horrible wake-up call. Maybe you've heard the expression, you need to wake up and smell coffee, even if you're not a coffee drinker. We need to wake up all and make sure that we are giving due diligence to the Lord, giving our very best daily. There is hell, destruction, and damnation for those who refuse the gospel of Christ. Those who accept and take in the gospel of Christ, obeying it, being baptized into his death, and living faithfully unto death, they will receive a crown of life. What a magnificent or tremendous scene that would be. There are five scenes that the author of this lesson put together and said will be at God's judgment. Number one, it'll be the greatest crowd ever assembled. It'll be all mankind. Forever. I mean, for all time. Whatever. Forever for us on the world. Okay? The greatest crowd ever assembled. 2 Corinthians 5 and 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Notice, if you heard a little bit of inflection in my voice, it was on purpose. What he has done in the body, not what he believed merely, not what he thought was right. Else, how is it possible, if believing something is all, how can we be condemned if we are told, for him that knoweth the good he ought to do and doeth it not, for him it is a sin? So knowing that something is good and not doing it is still sinful. So the key, without doubt, is to first have faith. We cannot come unto God through Christ Jesus without faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. That said, we can't stop and say, I believe, just like the demons believed and shuddered. They understood who Jesus was and his awesome power, and they bade him send them into the swine. They knew what that power was, but refusing to submit, whether good or bad. So, that is 2 Corinthians 5 and 10. In 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 through 3, it reads, now as the times and the epochs, brethren, you have no need of anything to be written to you, for you yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night. While they are saying peace and safety, then destruction will come upon them suddenly, like labor pains upon a woman with child, and they will not escape. No one will be able to escape at that time. We cannot hunker down in the bunker, as I put it out this morning. We're not going to be doomsday preppers in the worldly sense where we can go into a bunker or a shelter. This is not just a bomb coming in. It's the destruction of the entire world. However, if you want to be a spiritual doomsday prepper, I know I'm repeating from this morning, a spiritual doomsday prepper, then you do that now. You prepare now. Soul, by being blameless. Point number two, the greatest judge will preside at judgment. just as a judge decides what is ill, evil, bad, wrong, lost, will also justly, righteously judge those who are good, righteous in the sight of the Lord, well-meaning, and well-doing. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. Revelation 22 and 12. Again, each one according to his work, whatever that shall be. You know, sometimes we think of the word of God being sharper than any two-edged sword. And rightly so, it's in the scriptures. I think sometimes of a meat cleaver, and we know that that comes down. We know there's a piece that's on the right and a piece that's on the left. It cuts both ways. It rends asunder or tears apart two separate pieces. Often that can be done to cut the meat from the bone. Maybe the bone is discarded. But make certain that by the words of our Lord, all of us will be judged, and that it will cut left and right. I did not realize until I had a dog what a quick was. I heard the expression cut to the quick. I thought it meant sort of cut right to the chase, you know, something quick. Get to the point, cut to the chase. The quick is the opposite of the dead. So the quick is that living part surrounding the nail bed, you might call it. Now, do this spiritually. Jesus is going to take those who are quickened in Christ Jesus and remain quickened, and they will go on to life. Those who are dead to Christ, meaning they have not obeyed, or they once obeyed and then re-abandoned. Those are the dead. The quick and the dead. It's not just Western. It's worldwide. Those who are quickened in Christ Jesus will be honored on that day. That will be the rewards ceremony. Crown of life shall be given to him that overcome. The greatest judge presided, Revelation 22 and 12. And then in Acts 17 to 31, because he has fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom he has appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising him from the dead. He has fixed a day. I take it that means God the Father. Why? Jesus himself did not know the day or the hour. And he has appointed the man through a man whom he has appointed. So the a man is Jesus, whom he, God the Father, has appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising him, Jesus, God the Son, from the dead. So the plan of salvation is in full swing as of Jesus' death, while life, death, burial, resurrection, and then ascension. In 2 Timothy 4, 7 through 8, I have fought the good fight. This is Paul writing. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Now we can take this very narrowly and very minutely and very literally and say, I love it that Jesus came. If you love him, you will keep his commands. If we love his appearing, we want to be with him. We want to be with him. And in Titus 2:11, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men. That doesn't mean that all are saved, but it's all put out there. All things are ready. That feast is prepared and set forth. If you think of it as a physical feast, have you been to a buffet table somewhere and they laid out all the foods and all the drinks or all the desserts and such? Come, whosoever will. Does everybody come? Why, of course not. Not everyone comes. Now, in a spiritual sense, that feast is ready. We remember the feast of the Passover. We remember the Lord's death and show it forth, or present him dead. We show it forth. Why would we show forth Christ's death until he comes? Because it's in his death and in our dying with Christ in baptism. That's where our sins are taken away. We did it on the cross. That's where the law was taken away, the death and the testing. So, the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men. Number three, the greatest books are going to be opened. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened in Revelation 20:12, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged from the things that were written in the books according to their deeds. Written in the books, it almost sounds to me like the words that God, through the Holy Spirit, inspired the prophets, the priests, the kings, the apostles, those who were with God, and God worked through, not all, but there are plenty. Certainly in the books, we've got to understand one thing, whether we're speaking of the scriptures or of heavenly books, the book of life is heavenly. Is not the Bible a book of life and of death? Does it not cut both ways? It condemns those who refuse. It accepts and encourages and uplifts those who accept. And by accepting, I mean obeying, not just saying, sure. Okay? Hope I've said that in a clear way. According to their deeds. Again, the key one. John 8:24. Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. Well, what does the world like to do? This is a fairly short verse, and we can take this, and we can do a little, I don't know if I've got my object here for a lesson, but I did this morning, sure do. A pocket and a little pen knife. And as Jeremiah put it, you know, Jehoiakim takes out a scrivener's knife and cuts out those pieces that he doesn't like. He throws them on the fire and burns them up. But he cannot burn up the word of God because it can be rewritten, the instruction. So I bid you read about that. Even so, believe. Well, that only says believe. Yes, it does not say that we have to confess his name. That's in another verse. You see what I'm saying? It says on page one of the recipe, Martine, you need 2 cups of flour. She says, yeah, let's go to page two. I said, no. That's all that page two says. Or page one says, excuse me. Now some of you are laughing. That's how absurd that is. That's a worldly thing. Well, where's the salt? Where's the pinch of this? Have you ever gone backward? quarter cup of salt instead of a quarter cup of sugar? I don't know. Have you ever done something like that? I admit, you're better than I am if you haven't ever. Does that get it right? What if you've got a quarter cup of flour and 2 cups of baking powder? You see? Now these are worldly things, and as Paul wrote once, I'm speaking as a man in human terms. If we can understand that, can we not understand? Keep reading, friend. Read the next chapter. Read the next book. Read the next page. Don't excise, that means to cut out. Don't do surgical removal of God's word where it's inconvenient. Inconvenient spiritually is when people don't want to stop what they lust after or what they want, but they're ones above. Greatest books being opened in Matthew 10, 32 and 33. Therefore, everyone who confesses me, I told you, you believe me, right? You've heard this. Everyone who confesses me before men, I will also confess him before my Father, who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny him before my Father in heaven. Now, let me do a faith-only thing on the faith-only people. I don't have to believe. All I have to do is say Jesus is Lord. Wouldn't that be foolish? Again, like Doug Rouse said, wouldn't that be foolish to say? That's how foolish it is when people say, well, we have to, in a conversation, self-same brother, preacher, with Doug Rouse, we talked about faith alone. He said he could agree with it, but here's the caveat. It has to be that living faith, right? It has to be the faith that is convincing us to go on to action, motivates us to do, not just to say. You know as well as I do that we sometimes use the expression lip service. Jesus hated that. Well, you don't know that. Yeah, we do. Scriptures tell me. These people do honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Why? Because they did this, and they didn't do this. Get up, walk toward him, arise and be baptized. Wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. We don't have calling on the name of the Lord yet. We have to put the scriptures together, not rend them asunder. Acts 22 and 16. Now why do you delay? Get up or arise and be baptized. Now wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord, calling on his name. To me, one of the most impactful, if that's a good word, strong, hard-hitting expressions in 1 Peter 3:21, if there's any doubt. Speaking of Noah, and there's a global flood, and we have looked at this quite often in past months. Corresponding to that, the flood of Noah's day. Baptism now saves you. You know what a preacher in the, I'm going to say, a preacher in the Baptist church said when I said this? He kept skipping over it. But it says, baptism saves you. Baptism doth now also save you. There's no answer. There's no response. So just keep skipping over it. Keep cutting it out. That's what they're doing. Isn't it odd that people who label themselves as being Baptists don't believe that baptism is necessary unto salvation? You ever think about that? By your chuckles, I'm glad that I kind of piqued your interest there a little bit. A pure in French is like a shot or a stick or a prick. Something that'll make you prick up your ears a little bit. People label themselves as Baptists, yet claim that baptism is not necessary unto salvation. Well, I think Peter knew more than they do. And I don't think Jesus was foolish at all. He certainly wasn't foolish enough to tell Peter, go and feed my flock, and prep him for the day of Pentecost and there beyond to preach the word and be instant in season. Now, as Paul writes, and Peter tells us exactly what we need to do. Baptism now saves you, not the removal of dirt from the flesh, but an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Oh, Mark, you're talking about, this is what they will say, working to be saved. The only person that did the work of significance here is Jesus Christ. To that we can say a resounding amen. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we have hope. Baptism saves me because of Christ Jesus' work, not the other way around. Simple? It is. It's meant that the person with a simple and pure heart, purer in heart, help me to be, can understand that. No law degree, no jurisprudence, no paralegal this, no university professor that, no Latin. You don't need that. What does it say? Four words. Baptism now saves you. Good enough for me, Jesus. Let's move on. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. There you are. Jehoiakim can cut them out and burn them with fire, and they won't pass away. What a glorious thing that is. Matthew 24, 35. 1 Peter 1, 23, for you have been born again, not of seed, which is perishable, but imperishable, that is, through the living, enduring word of God. Well, if I want to play this advocate over here, if I want to turn the tables and apply their very pretzel logic, then I could say, oh, wait a minute. This is not saying that I have to believe or confess or be baptized. I'm going to be saved through the living word. Again, see how foolish that is? Should we say, well, to get the proper result, you need the different ingredients? That's not tough. If my Lord says, Mark, gird up the loins of your mind, but if he says, I'm going to use armor, put on the full armor of God. No, wait a minute, wait. Don't go out without helmet. Hold on there, sister. Put on a breastplate. Hey, Matthew, make sure you take that sword. It doesn't mean that Matthew takes a sword, she takes a breastplate, he's got a helmet, but nothing else. Let's put on the full armor. Full armor. No pun intended. But go ahead and hear about it. John 12 and 48. He who rejects me, Christ Jesus, and does not receive my saying, has one who judges him. The word I spoke is what will judge him in the last day. There it is. So these people say, well, I'm not gonna play ball with you, so to speak. I'm not gonna get into all that. You ever heard the expression? Religion's okay, just as long as you don't take it too seriously. That's not my words, but I heard plenty of that sentiment growing up sadly. Those people just take it too seriously over there, this grooming day. When I became a Christian, I realized, before I became a Christian, it ought to be number one in my life. It ought to be. And in yours too. This helps us that the enduring word of God is living, and also that will judge us in that last day. There is going to be a great separation made. The greatest separation. Think of that meat cleaver again. The two-edged sword that will cut left and right. Matthew 25, 31 through 46. This is a short clip from that. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them. You've heard me, if you've been here often enough, you've heard me say, people do not understand when they're carrying these placards that say, we want justice. There's nothing wrong with wanting justice, but they stand condemned before the King of Kings if they're worried about worldly justice. Often what they want is recompense, revenge, eye for an eye. And I'm not saying that that gives reverence and deference to our brother Hubert Showalter on the eve of the evening of 9/11 on the terrorist attack. That day, we had a congregational meeting at Park Road. And the one scripture that sticks out in my mind is one of those, one of many books shared that evening. Many of us prayed and we spoke, and as a congregation, we were tearful. Hubert pointed this out. The government wieldeth not or beareth not the sword in vain. Justice is coming for all. Righteous judgment is coming for all. But the people who are pillaging and rioting and shooting and looting and on are going to have a sad, sad judgment day. They are going to get the just recompense for their deeds in the flesh. That separation will be made. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them from one another as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep on his right and the goats on the left. The goats being those who will not obey, those who reject. And look, this is the longest, but I want to make a few key points here. This is both glorifying and terrifying. In Luke 16, the rich man and Lazarus. Some people in this world will make the mistake of thinking, oh, that's a nice little bottle, or that's a nice brooch you're wearing tonight, or, and think they found favor with the Lord. And I'll go over here, darkly, I'm looking right at that and think, boy, they don't have the things that we can't do that. The Lord looketh upon the heart, not the stature of a man. Thank God. Thank God that he isn't judging on this. Really. The Lord looks upon the heart. He did in this case. And look at how never the twain shall meet, never the two are going to join. Now there was a rich man, and he habitually dressed in purple and fine linen and joyously living in splendor every day. It's not a sin to have. And a poor man named Lazarus was laid at his gate, covered with sores, and longing to be fed with the crumbs which were falling from the rich man's table. Besides, even the dogs were coming and licking his sores. Now the poor man died and was carried away by the angels to Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. In Hades he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. This is prior to judgment. The final judgment has, the proclamation has not been made. And the rich man knows exactly where he is. Imagine. Already knowing what the final verdict will be. Because already burdened and tormented. And saw Abraham far away and Lazarus in his bosom. There's the glorious part of that. But when the Son of Man comes in his glory, sacrifice to one another tonight. And he cried out and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus so that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool off my tongue, for I am in agony in this flame. The idea that what do some brothers say that Jehovah's Witnesses believe that when they're like Rover, when he's dead all over. Just like Rover, he's dead all over. That's not the case. The soul is completely aware of where it is. And in torment. But Abraham said, child, and we talked about this, didn't we, Wednesday? I said, Jesus, now, our brother who corrected that, he's more correct than I am up explaining. Jesus is telling this, but the one speaking in this quote is certainly Abraham. There we got it all straightened out. But Abraham said, child, remember that during your life you received your good things and likewise Lazarus bad things. But now he is being comforted here and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great chasm fixed. No purgatory. No working out your own salvation in Hades or the Hadean realm. You know when we are to work out our own salvation? I don't mean up here, I mean now. Now is the time. Today is the day of salvation. Let's go back to this horrible scene for the rich man, but glorious scene for Lazarus. Great chasm fixed so that those who wish to come over from here to you will not be able, and that none may cross over from there to here. Got it? None will be able to cross over. No purgatory. You want to get rid of your sin? Do it now. I've said for off and on for maybe a month of Sundays, we'll call it. You want to hit the reset button, it needs to be while you're alive. Because after you die, you don't get a purgatory, a do-over, a reset button. We don't get to send ambassadors. I was going to say Hillary. We don't get to send ambassadors to Russia with a red reset button. They cannot cross from one place to the other. It doesn't work. And he said, the rich man, that I beg you, Father, that you send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, in order that he may warn them, so that they will also come, so that they will not also come to this place of torment. But Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. But he said, no, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But he said to him, if they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be persuaded even if someone rises from the dead. No doubt Jesus is speaking through or repeating these words, pardon me, and speaking through this. I believe it to be a real story. To say, he, Jesus Christ, isn't that true? Is the whole world saved and everybody believes right now that Jesus saves because he rose from the dead? Of course not. In fact, it's very few when you look at the world population. The greatest verdict will be proclaimed. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Matthew 25. Here is a chilling part, Matthew 25 and 41, that he will also say to those on his left, depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire, which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. It's waiting. It's waiting. Well, the chambers. What is it? Someone says, you know, like maybe an old timey barber shop that might have said three chairs, no waiting. There are not chairs, and there will be no waiting. they will know. We will know. Truly I say to you, to the extent of that of the cloud, that you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. These will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Go be separate. The other great news says those of us who are there and we are found there, there will be no more tears, no more sorrow, no more worry, no more pain. The greatest verdict proclaimed. Come, you Lord, who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Do you want to hear those words proclaimed? Today is the day of salvation. Baptism now saves you. Why do you delay? Won't you come? It's only a step while we stand and sing. Hear the speech.